Week 5, Day 2, Hosea 4 through 6. Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love and no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committing adultery. They break all bounds and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns and all who dwell in it languish, also the beasts of the field and the birds of the heavens and even the fish of the sea are taken away. Yet let no one contend and let no one accuse, for with you is my contention, O priest. You shall stumble by day, the prophet also shall stumble with you by night, and I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. The more they increased, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into shame. They feed on the sin of my people. They are greedy for their iniquity. And it shall be like people, like priests. I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They shall eat, but not be satisfied. They shall play the whore, but not multiply. Because they have forsaken the Lord to cherish whoredom, wine, and new wine, which take away the understanding. My people inquire of a piece of wood, and their walking staff gives them oracles. For a spirit of whoredom has led them astray, and they have left their God to play the whore. They sacrifice on tops of the mountains and burn offerings on the hills, under oak, poplar, and terebinth, because their shade is good. Therefore your daughters play the whore, and your brides commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they play the whore, nor your brides when they commit adultery, for the men themselves go aside with prostitutes and sacrifice with cult prostitutes, and a people without understanding shall come to ruin. Though you play the whore, O Israel, let not Judah become guilty. Enter not into Gilgal, nor go up to Beth Aven, and swear not as the Lord lives. Like a stubborn heifer, Israel is stubborn. Can the Lord now feed them like a lamb in a broad pasture? Ephraim is joined to idols. Leave him alone. When their drink is gone, they give themselves to whoring. Their rulers dearly love shame. A wind has wrapped them in its wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. Hear this, O priests. Pay attention, O house of Israel. Give ear, O house of the king, for the judgment is for you. For you have been a snare at Mitzpah, and a net spread upon Tabor. And the revolters have gone deep into slaughter, and I will discipline all of them. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you have played the whore. Israel is defiled. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God, for the spirit of whoredom is within them, and they know not the Lord. The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Israel and Ephraim shall stumble in his guilt. Judah shall also stumble with them. With their flocks and herds they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn from them. They have dealt faithlessly with the Lord, for they have borne alien children. Now the new moon shall devour them in their fields. Blow the horn at Gibeah, the trumpet in Ramah. Sound the alarm at Beth Aven. We follow you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall become a desolation in the day of punishment. Among the tribes of Israel I make known what is sure. The princes of Judah have become like those who move the landmark. Upon them I will pour out my wrath like water. Ephraim is oppressed, crushed in judgment, and because he was determined to go after filth. But I am like a moth to Ephraim, and like dry rot to the house of Judah. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to the great king, but he is not able to cure you or heal your wound. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away. I will carry off and no one shall rescue. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up that we may live before him. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as dawn. He will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore I have hewn them by the prophets, I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. But like Adam, they transgressed the covenant. There they dealt faithlessly with me. Gilead is a city of evildoers, tracked with blood, as robbers lie in wait for a man, so the priests band together. They murder on the way to Shechem. They commit villainy. In the house of Israel, I have seen a horrible thing. Ephraim's whoredom is there. Israel is defiled. For you also, O Judah, a harvest is appointed when I restore the fortunes of my people. When we received a call about writing for this journal, we were told it would be a study of impactful individuals in the Bible and that they were considering Hosea or Elijah for us. At the time, I was studying Hosea and knew it would be the perfect fit. Today's reading contains three parts that stick out to me from the whole book, verses I was already mulling around in my head and heart before starting to write for this journal, and I haven't been able to shake their sentiments. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, "There's no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land." Chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Hear this, you priests, pay attention, you Israelites, listen, royal house." Chapter 6, verse 6 says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." I am struck and humbled by the simplicity of what God is asking from his people, their faithfulness, love, and an acknowledgement of him. He isn't asking for their wealth, a lot of their time, or grandiose gestures. For centuries, God has been abundantly clear what he expects from his chosen people, from the time they entered into their covenant marriage at Mount Sinai in Exodus 19 through 24. You even see this in David's writing in Psalm 45 through 6. God's leaning towards mercy over sacrifice may sound backwards, considering these people are living under the Mosaic law. But God's desire for his people has always been the same, a people full of faith, driven by love. The Mosaic law was never meant to justify or sanctify, and keeping the law wasn't a ticket into heaven. John Piper puts it this way: nobody, Old Testament or New, was ever justified by the works of the law. The law was given not to save, but to show the need for grace. Before Jesus, faith in God's promises, ultimately fulfilled in Christ, was how people were made right with God. Piper emphasizes that people in the Old Testament were justified by faith, not by works of the law, just like we are today. God wasn't changing the nature of his commandments to the Israelites. He was reminding them that what he desires most is their faith, not legalistic moralism. It's important to note that in chapter 5, everyone is involved in sin. Priests, royalty, and common people. Nobody is carrying out the simplicity of what God is calling them to. Reflecting on this, I contemplate if I am complicating what God has asked of me. Have I fallen into the trap of religious routine or performance, offering sacrifices of my time, service, or outward obedience while neglecting the faithfulness, love, and acknowledgement of God? Hosea reminds us that God has always been after our hearts, not our checklists. You don't need grand gestures or flawless obedience. God is looking for your heart, a heart that stays faithful, extends mercy, and lives in quiet, genuine acknowledgement of him. That's what he wanted then, and that's what moves his heart today. Question 1. When you examine your faith practices, what specific routines or spiritual habits have become more about performance or appearance than a sincere relationship with God? How did you get there? Question 2. Do you lead with mercy in the relationships in your own life? With your friends, with your spouse, with your kids? Where do you need to grow? Question 3. Why do you think it's so easy for people, priests, leaders, and everyday believers alike, to fall into legalism and performance-based faith? And what helps keep a community centered on a heart-driven devotion? Daily prayer. Lord, help me to pursue you first. Help me to love like you.